Hello and welcome to the Veeam Community Podcast. I'm your host, Rick Vanover. This is episode 97, vSAN. Explain it to me. Here we go. Joining me today is number one, the best guy ever. My favorite. I love the Dutch too. Anyways, Duncan Epping is with me here today, guys. How you doing, Duncan?
I'm doing great, Rick, and what a fantastic introduction.
Nah, man, I really appreciate your work to the community. And, you know, guys, the book, he wrote the book, right? I have two of them right here behind me, the clustering deep dive and the technical reference for all the other features that, you know, we use every day with our vSphere environments. This guy's a great guy. You don't really need much of an introduction. If I say Yellow Bricks, you all know who I'm talking about. That's him. Duncan, you know, we'll talk about vSAN just a bit, but how are things going with you? You know, your role, any changes going on in anything you've been doing?
Yeah, actually I changed job roles recently. I used to be part of the integration engineering team. Maybe you've seen that Cormac Hogan joined that team recently. Mm-hmm. And he actually took on my responsibilities for storage. So he's responsible from an integration perspective for stuff like vSAN and virtual volumes. And I moved into a new team, which is called Emerging Solutions. And we look at all the new stuff that's coming up in the upcoming 1 to 2 years and see what we can, you know, build from it from a solution perspective. Mm-hmm. And see how we can enable our partners to start selling and shipping our products in a more easy way. So
I hope that doesn't mean we're going to see less of you in the public realm, Duncan.
I wouldn't say so. I mean, when I was part of the IE team, integration engineering, presenting wasn't officially part of my role, mm-hmm. and blogging wasn't officially part of my role either. Mm-hmm. But my management made it fairly clear that they expected me to continue to do those types of things, you know, be an evangelist for the company.
Sure.
And, you know, put my voice out there, put my opinion out there, see how people respond to it, and bring it back to the engineering team as well, because that's also a core part of my responsibilities. Even within this new job role, that will be part of my responsibilities, bringing back your experiences to the engineering team, so they can improve, you know, things that are broken today, or, you know, things that need to be fixed.
Right on. And I think that your voice is very welcome in the community. So, you know, on behalf of all the listeners, definitely keep it up. I really appreciate your contributions. So let's talk about vSAN. And, you know, right now we're recording 6th of January. And if I remember correctly, Duncan, it's still in beta. Is that right?
That's correct. It's still in beta today.
And it was announced semi-publicly around VMworld last year. But at the high level, what is vSAN? Let's start with that.
Yeah, you can explain vSAN in a couple of simple words, in my opinion. It's a distributed storage solution using local storage resources. So with that meaning, it's a inbuilt solution. So it's built into the hypervisor. It's a kernel-based solution. Mm-hmm. And it aggregates all the local disks, so all your local hard drives, into a large shared storage resource. Mm-hmm. So it's a fairly simple solution. And what I like most about vSAN, some of you might have seen a demo out there. If you haven't seen a demo, I would, you know, advise to have a look on YouTube, because there's a couple of demos out there. But you can literally enable it within two clicks. So it's an entity, it's a characteristic of a cluster. Mm-hmm. So you go to a simple HAD REST cluster, and there's another tick box there, which is called virtual SAN, and you enable it, and that's it. Mm-hmm. The only prerequisite is that you will need to have an X amount of disks, you need to have some SSD, and you will need to have a vSAN VM kernel interface, which would allow the different nodes to talk to each other. So it's a fairly simple mechanism that allows you to aggregate multiple disks into a shared storage system.
And you said SSD, so I'm taking that there's some sort of, I don't want to say tiering, but maybe read and write caching, kind of like the vSphere flash read cache. Is that type of technique built into vSAN?
Yeah, it's definitely not a tiering solution. It's indeed a caching solution. So if you look at it, if you look at vSAN itself, every host will have at least one spinning media, so an HDD, and at least one flash drive. And that could be an SSD, could be PCIe, but the PCIe or flash device will be used for caching and buffering. So it's a read cache and it's a write buffer at the same time.
Yeah,
that's primarily.
Yeah, it's important. I shouldn't have said tiering because that's not what it is. It is a cache, but if we have these accessible, aka low-cost SSDs or PCIe SSDs, you know, we should really see if we can put them in, and this is great that it's built right in.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at vSAN itself, it doesn't have any requirements built into the solution itself. If you look at the SSD, so if you would plug in a low-end SSD, a consumer-grade SSD, it would work. Of course, the recommendation is to use something which, from a durability perspective, is a bit more beefier. So we're talking about, you know, an Intel S3700, something like that. Maybe a Samsung 840 Pro, which is, you know, the top end of the consumer grade. That could potentially be used, but, you know, preferably enterprise MLC grade or SLC grade solutions, because at some point, if your SSD is going to wear down, you might hit some issues, right? So the quality of the SSD is going to determine the outcome of your, or at least the quality of your solution as well.
That's cool. That's a good point to remember. I need to keep telling myself that all SSDs truly are not created equal. So thank you for that good reminder there. And I particularly fancy Kingston, and they have those three grades right there. Like you described, consumer, business, enterprise, and then these bizarre extreme gamer ones. So, yeah, it does make a difference because especially multi-MLC, I forget what MLC stands for. Basically, it comes down to the cycles that those cells can endure. And for this, especially a write cache, read cache, you could probably take a cell failure a little bit easier, but a write cache, you definitely want a reliable state. Is that a good way of kind of explaining the difference there?
Yeah, I would say so. And the other thing is that I think one thing to keep in mind is with vSAN, because it's a distributed solution. I mean, even if your SSD would fail, the data will still be available on one of the other nodes in your cluster. And depending on how you've set it up, that could be one or multiple copies of your data. So even if it would fail, chances of you losing data are fairly slim. Still, it's going to have an impact, and it's going to take some time to recover from it. So, in my opinion, it's always best to look at least enterprise grade solutions.
Sure.
Although I can see the lower end of the market, the SMB, trying to build cheap versions of a vSAN cluster, and in many cases we will support those. There's going to be a hardware compatibility list for it. Mm-hmm. If it's listed, it's supported, then you're free to use it.
That's cool. That's important. Guys, always shop from the vSphere HCL. There's a big difference between supported and it works. Too many times, especially like the entire storage system or maybe even computer systems, it's one of those things that even as you upgrade, right, that's even another thing, because the low-level SCSI commands for traditional storage systems in particular, they may work to drop in a volume, but then the moment you start doing tricky features, best example a few years ago was like Storage vMotion or VMFS5. When that came out, not all arrays can support that, so definitely always stick to the HCL.
Yeah, and things change as well from version to version, right? I still remember when I did an upgrade from ESX254 to version 3.0. They changed the storage stack. Mm-hmm. And, I was the kind of guy who was never reading documentation back then, and I figured, I'm just going to do this upgrade and see what happens. Well, a lot of bad stuff happened, and I spent about a weekend recovering from the fact that I didn't read the documentation. If I had read the documentation, because it was clearly listed that I should have changed the way the masking was set up on my storage, I could have prevented it. But
sure,
it's a good tip. Always read the HCL when you go through a major upgrade or even a minor upgrade, mm-hmm. and read the release notes as well, because it typically will tell you if there are any known issues and if there's certain scenarios which are not supported.
Well, and you know, the documentation is always a great place to start. You know, of course, the official VMware docs for these features, and then, you know, great blogs from trusted sources like yourself. But I think a good supplement to that is lab time. And especially with vSAN in beta, I think now's really the right time to be playing around with it in the lab. And as you can read by Duncan's blog, I know that you're doing that. Any like lab tips and tricks that you'd recommend for people if they're wanting to play with vSAN?
Well, first of all, I see a lot of people trying to build their own vSAN kits. Personally, a lot of the testing that I do, I typically will run stuff nested. The reason for it being is it's easy to set up. It's easy to throw away as well. So if I break things, I can just kill it, start over again. You know, whether it's, you know, vSAN breaking, which, you know, has happened in my lab, but mainly because I'm using engineering builds and not actual release builds. But, you know, it's also stuff like integration where you're testing when things, you know, potentially could fail. So I prefer to use a nested lab. That way you can have multiple copies and can have multiple tests running at the same time. And I can, you know, pull out notes, power them off, see what happens. You know, failure scenarios are a bit easier to test as well. If you are going to test it in a live scenario, the community forum, so there's a beta community forum. You can sign up for it. It has a lot of great tips. There's a lot of people posting which configurations they are using. And Eric Bussink from Switzerland actually started a list of community-supported configurations. So in other words, stuff that people tested and that, you know, they've either validated to work or that they noticed that, you know, doesn't work today. For instance, there was an issue with one of the Intel controllers in the initial beta, or at least it wasn't a vSAN issue, it was a driver issue. That driver issue has been solved, and that's the kind of stuff, you know, the kind of experience you can find on the vSAN community forum as well. So if you're going to build some physical kit, make sure you sign up first before you start building, because you might end up building something which you can't use, which is kind of a waste.
Great. Good points. I mean, it's very important to definitely put forth the test cycles, dedicated lab or nested lab. I mean, if you're just talking usability, the nested lab, of course, is the way to go. But the moment you want to put it on your real kit, then you definitely want to do that live. And, you know, architecturally, vSAN is, you know, might be materially different than what people have done. Like you said, it's built into VM kernel. And if you've installed ESXi 5.5 right now, there are options for the install that can even detect that. So you may see it even though it's still in beta. It's in a way ready to go right there in 5.5. But Duncan, correct me if I'm wrong. So basically you use the local arrays, and that could be you know, built-in enclosures or maybe direct attached JBOD or feature volumes on local controllers, no traditional SAN. And a lot of people may kind of have reservation at that, but honestly, there is a large, how can I say, renaissance revival of direct attached storage. You know, for the money, array controllers built into servers, you can get good performance. You can get you know, any type of drive you want. You can get low capacity, high speed. You can get SSDs. You can get high capacity, low cost drives. Do people still have flexibility in determining? I mean, there's still the SSD, as you said, but do people still have flexibility in their capacity and performance if they design around vSAN?
Yeah, let me explain some of the basics first, because the for instance, the JBOD solutions or the DAS solutions, so direct attached storage solutions, are not supported in this release.
Okay.
The current release primarily focuses on internal disks. Main reason for that being, as far as I've been told, it's not that vSAN can't handle it. It's just a matter of the hours of time, the hours that we have available in terms of testing. So I expect JBOD and things like DAS solutions to be supported in an upcoming version. But today, if you have internal disks, you could use those for vSAN. There's a couple of things which are important to realize when you start using vSAN. The first one is the disk controller. Preferably, the disk controller should support something that we call pass-through, which means that all of your disks are directly plumbed to ESXi itself. So we're not presenting a RAID set or a RAID volume. we're presenting physical raw disks directly up to ESXi, because all that logic, all that RAID or RAIN logic, as we call it, is built into vSAN itself. Mm-hmm. vSAN is a distributed object solution. So if you want to have multiple copies of your data, it's not your RAID controller actually handling that, but it's vSAN handling that for you. Mm-hmm. So now, keep in mind that a lot of these disk controllers do offer other functionality. I mean, there's stuff like encryption that some of these disk controllers can offer you. Some of the controllers and disks can offer you things like deduplication and smart caching, SSD, special SSD algorithms, and you name it. So you know, having a decent controller is important in my opinion. That's when I start configuring a vSAN environment, and I mean when I look at the hardware itself, the disk controller is the first thing that I look at.
Mm-hmm. And I think people probably it's a fundamental change, right? So some of those normal RAID 5, RAID 6, forget about it, because it's inherently a distributed, dare I say, storage over compute approach. It's inherently made available. In fact, one of the things I'm looking at and read most closely was your recent post, or in October recent, about four hosts being the minimum, because you're planning for failure and then accommodating for things like maintenance mode, which is a great approach. But basically, there's inherent availability by the distributed approach. So that's why, you know, local RAID, am I correct, is not really something someone should focus on?
Yeah, the local RAID is not a focus, because vSAN already takes care of the mirroring of data. I mean, vSAN is a distributed solution. It's a RAIN solution or RAID solution. So as soon as you've set up vSAN and you create what we call the storage policy, you can provide specific characteristics in that storage policy, and those can be around performance or they can be around availability. So if you specify availability, which is something called failures to tolerate, so it's kind of similar to HA. If you set up failures to tolerate is one, then we take a one host failure into account, meaning that you'll get two copies of your data. If you specify failures to tolerate to two, you will get three copies of your data. So if you specify it as one and a host fails and it's carrying your data, then the other host, which is also having an active copy of your data, will just continue serving that data up to wherever the virtual machine lives. And I think that's something that's substantially different than most of the other storage solutions out there. Mm-hmm. Even if you look at all the hyper-converged solutions out there, there's a lot of cool vendors out there like Nutanix, Simplivity, Pivot. They do a lot of cool stuff, but they have a distributed file system. vSAN is not a distributed file system, so it's a different way of thinking. So not only different compared to the traditional storage systems out there, also different compared to some of the hyper-converged players out there, which kind of makes it difficult for people to, you know, understand how they should be building configuration for vSAN.
Oh, yeah, it is going to be difficult sorting through these options in the future, because first of all, this hyperconverged is probably the better term rather than unified storage and compute, whatever we want to call it. It's materially different than a lot of people have gone about it. So I like to take that availability discussion deep, right? Because that's just the way I think, and you know what I do being in backups. But side note for Veeam people listening, we don't explicitly support vSAN yet, but when it's out of beta, we will rapidly introduce support. So it used to work, but when 5.5 went GA, then we explicitly disabled it. Why? We don't want people to have a false sense of security. Okay, Veeam commercial over. but you know, for a beta, that we don't support betas for backup. We do for management, but not for backup. Anyways, so this change in how we do things, there are nuanced differences across the implementations, but I think that there is a big advantage to vSAN, and this is why I've kind of latched on to interest in it, because it's built into the hypervisor, and you, me, as the person providing our compute and effectively our storage, we can really dial it up exactly the way we want. If I have a brand preference for this, if I have a a drive capacity requirement for that, and my staff can support this, and my vendor can sell me that. All those different reasons, actually, you have the most amount of flexibility with vSAN, I'd say.
Yeah, that's a good point, and that's the feedback I've been getting from a lot of customers as well. I've been talking to a lot of customers and at events and just customer meetings, and the main feedback that I'm getting is, you know, I'm liking all these hyperconverged solutions. So the biggest challenge I have is introducing a new platform within our environment. We just like to use these HP boxes, mm-hmm. or I like to use Dell, or I prefer IBM. Mm-hmm. And in the case of vSAN, you can actually do that. The one thing that I like most about is that we'll offer multiple options. You can either build your own configuration and say, you know, I want to use this Dell server with this SSD, and I want to use this controller combined with these disks, and I want to use, you know, 20 of these disks and the PCIe flash device, or we're also going to offer something which is called a vSAN ready node, and we have multiple partners actually configuring servers explicitly for that, so they will be vSAN ready configurations, so they've been tested and certified to run vSAN each of the components, which is nice as well, which makes it a bit easier. So if you're an advanced customer, go ahead, build your own solution. If you're a smaller shop, you don't want to worry about all that kind of stuff. You just go to the HCL and look at the list of the vSAN ready nodes and pick up one of those, because you know it's going to work for sure. Mm-hmm. So you have multiple options here.
Well, that really opens the door for a lot of the reseller partners out there to have a ready node, and then, you know, if the customer really needs it, also provide the services to get it in. So yeah, I think that's a great approach. That's good stuff.
Yeah, and we're working with a lot of our partners and some of the OEMs, the ODMs, to see how we can improve that experience even, you know, to a further extent. I mean,
sure.
We can make things even simpler than it already is or looking to be in the near future. So that's definitely things that we are exploring. I mean, the easier we can make it for customers to start virtualizing or extending their estate, the better it is for us and our partner community, I would say.
Absolutely. So two more questions, Duncan, as we kind of get close to wrapping up. If I remember right, minimum of 3 nodes for vSAN, at least in the beta. Is there a published maximum number of nodes?
That's correct. So the minimum is 3 nodes today. As you mentioned, typically I would recommend 4, but that's from an HA perspective and trying to maintain availability even when a failure has occurred. You can run with 3. I'm running with 3 in my lab. It works fine. Today in the beta, there's a maximum of 8. Mm-hmm. At VMworld, I did a group discussion with one of the engineers, and he mentioned that we're aiming to hit 16 nodes with the GA release. I haven't seen that confirmed, to be honest. So, you know, that's still up in the air. Hopefully they'll hit that. But if not, if you look at 8 nodes, mm-hmm. and you look at the amount of disks that you can add to a vSAN node, we're talking about, you know, 2.2 petabyte that you can have for a single vSAN data store in an 8-node cluster today.
With an SSD read and write cache.
With an SSD read and write cache, indeed. Yeah. So that's, you know, we're talking about a lot of capacity that a vSAN data store can hold. And considering most of these, you know, the servers that people will be using will probably be 2U servers, or mm-hmm. I've even heard people talking about using 4U servers or some of these twin solutions like Supermicro has, the Fat Twin and the Twin Pro solutions, which are also pretty cool. So yeah, you can pack them with disks, and I would say there's plenty of opportunity to virtualize anything.
Sure, and I really like that blog post about 4 being the minimum, and I latched on to that mindset recently when I was writing some stuff and doing some presentations on upgrading to vSphere 5.5, right? Because especially for people that upgraded from 5.0 to 5.1, and then maybe some people haven't yet gone to 5.1 but now want to go to 5.5, you should always really bank on 2 failures. And what I mean by that is like the HA inventory, if that's in use. But also, you know, a host could be out for maintenance mode, or at least one of your many hosts, and, you know, of course, trouble happens when you least expect it. So if you have a host out for upgrades and then you have a failure, then you really have lost too. So that's a design element. No matter how you design stuff, really keep that in mind. There's really HA and there's really maintenance that can take things off the production inventory.
The funny thing is here is that I had a discussion around this, the 3 versus 4 node with the engineering team. And, you know, strictly speaking, the engineering team, of course, came back and said, you know, 3 nodes is the minimum. And they're fully right. 3 node is the minimum. But there's a couple of things you will need to take into the mind. As you mentioned, maintenance mode. As soon as you go into maintenance mode with vSAN and you want to make sure that all of your data is still fully available and redundant, as well. At the same time, you will need to make sure you have additional disk capacity within your environment as well. So that's the reason I said, you know, 4 nodes probably makes it easier. If you look at the capacity you need for your total cluster, and you would say, need 4 hosts divided by 3. So if you have 12 gigs, instead of dividing it by 4 and having 12 terabyte and having 3 terabyte per server, have 4 terabyte per server, so you have additional disk capacity. If anything happens, at least your components can be made or redundant as well again. So if the second failure occurs at that point in time, you're at least protected from that.
Right, and
that's the reason I'm more, you know, leaning towards having 4 nodes than having 3 nodes. Of course, it depends on your budget.
Right. Well, sure. We're suggesting this, not paying the bill, of course. Right. But and it's one of those things that, you know, to meet that requirement performance level, because, I mean, you can condense everything in and then, you know, start swapping and stuff like that. But, you know, you want to meet the performance levels in the event of maintenance or a failure, of course. No, great stuff. So, hey, Duncan, as we wrap up here, first of all, thanks again for really being on. I'm going to put notes in the podcast to the different links you talked about, the beta forum and VMware communities, a couple of your blog posts. But no, hey, Duncan, it's great catching up, and I really appreciate you helping the listeners get their heads around vSAN.
No problem at all, Rick, and thanks for having me. And I'm looking forward to for Veeam getting their backup solution ready for vSAN, because I know a lot of customers have been asking for it already. So hopefully we'll hear something soon after the GA release.
Yeah, it will be after GA of vSAN, which, you know, our R&D development team is surely already testing. It's not like we wait for GA. We test ahead and verify on GA. I get this question all the time, Duncan, especially when vSphere 5.5 came out. And then same on the, you know, some of the newer guest operating systems, like when Windows Server 2012 came out. The reason why we don't support until after GA is we just don't want people to have a false sense of security when it comes to backup. So we explicitly don't support that until we've gone through it, and it could be through, in the case of vSphere 5.5 and the latest operating system with Windows Server 2012 R2, we issued a patch 2, which would introduce that cumulative support, and then from there, customers can protect happily. So, Duncan, hopefully I'll see you at PEX.
Yeah, I'm going to be there for sure. I actually have a session that I will need to present at PEX, which is around building a hyper-converged solution. And, of course, it will talk, or at least I will talk about vSAN as well and some of the other vSphere components that will allow you to build such a solution.
Good stuff. Okay, everyone. Well, you can follow Duncan on Twitter at DuncanYB. His awesome blog is yellow-bricks.com. And Duncan, thanks again for being on.
Thanks, Rick.